Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. At some point in our lives, we all struggle with finding a sense of worthiness. Perhaps we've had some tough life experiences that left us feeling hurt, with bruises that we've never fully recovered from. My guest today, Amanda J.P. Brown, is intimately familiar with this struggle. A former trauma therapist, Amanda went from high school dropout and drug user to college graduate, earning two master's degrees. Amanda is the author of You're Brave Enough, 8 Daily Practices to Be Your Own Hero. Today, she guides women through their shame so they can stand confidently in their power. During our conversation, Amanda talks about how we can overcome past shame and become the true hero of our lives so that we can live our highest potential. She encourages us to create a life where we're free to be exactly who we are, free of expectations, and fully embodying every experience that has made us the person that we are today. Hey, Amanda, how are you doing?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. I'm happy to be connecting with you today to talk about how we can be more brave and really show up as the most real versions of ourselves. So thanks for making time to share your thoughts with us today.
Absolutely.
Great. So let's start by getting to know you a little bit better. You have quite an interesting background. And I'm curious to know, how did your personal story shape your philosophy on bravery and authenticity?
Great question. Super juicy. My story kind of started in childhood. And then obviously we all, as we age, kind of this journey and story just keeps growing, right? When I was a teenager, I got involved in drugs. And as I moved out and away from that life, I carried a lot of shame around that. And so because of that, I was hiding pieces of myself so people didn't know, because I didn't want them to know, because I was fearful that they would judge me. But the more that I denied my, like, what I'd been through and the experiences I had, the more shame I carried, and the more that I was not authentically myself. I was trying to morph into the people or woman or friend or girlfriend that I thought other people wanted. And so because of that, I had this whole issue around showing up as who I was. And so it took me many years. Part of my story was going back to school, and that actually really helped me after the drugs to get kind of refocused and learn, and it created structure and safety. And then finally, I hadn't been doing that inner work. I'd just been stuffing everything and kind of morphing and merging and like being that chameleon sometimes people talk about, or that shape shifter. Mm-hmm. And which is a great skill to have if you're open, like, to, if you're really grounded in yourself. But when you're not grounded in who you are, it's really easy to lose yourself. And so I would lose myself in relationships, lose myself in jobs. And I ended up in a toxic relationship and really kind of found that the more I gave away and compromised who I was, the less I knew who I was and the less other people knew who I was. And so that actually was a huge thing, because I walked into this work party one time, and it was like an anniversary party, and it was the All-American Girl Red, White, and Blue Apple Pie and Ice Cream. And I was like, who is this party for? Because I am not that wholesome. I am not, like, I just had this idea of who I was because I'd been through drugs and the life that it goes. But it was in that moment I realized that when I compromised who I was to make a relationship work, I actually had given away pieces of myself, and people didn't know who I was. And that was actually who he was at the time. So that relationship ended, and I kind of vowed I would never do that again. But because I still hadn't done the work on, like, really loving myself and accepting my past and honoring where I'd been, I wasn't able to truly move forward in that. So what happened was I got in another relationship, and while I was aware of some of it, it happened subtly again. But in this next relationship, I actually felt safe enough that I started doing some of my own work, which really brought me into doing more mindset, more healing work, and understanding that I'd been rejecting myself so much, and that in order to feel more confident and comfortable in my skin, I had to take some really brave action of owning my story, being able to share my story in a very vulnerable and honest way, and really honor that girl that had been through all of this stuff, because she was a really amazing person and I was denying that. So that's kind of led me, all of my own journey led me to being able to get to this place where I can talk about who I am in a way that honors me without worrying about the judgment of other people, because I'm no longer judging myself.
Right. And what did it take? First of all, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing. But what did it take for you to finally come to the realization? Because I know it doesn't happen. You don't have that epiphany in a certain point in your life. It happens gradually. But yeah. Do you have a sense of when it actually started?
It really started like that. So that party was one of the big things. And that was in, I think, 2005, which was like 15 years ago, which is crazy. So it started then, but then it really kind of came up again in 2012. I was in this next relationship. I had been struggling in it. I was falling back into some of the same old patterns. I actually wanted to get healthier. And so really my journey started, like, the big epiphany was when I decided I wanted to change my body. But in order to truly change my body and, like, love myself, I'd found this amazing coach. So I feel like it was kind of like a, happenstance. Like it just kind of happened, and I don't really know, but mm-hmm. I'm sure it was divinely guided, like, to find this coach who did mindset work. And it was through the process of exploration, they would be asking questions. Is that really what you want to do? And it made me go, wow, is this, I've never really thought about, that. And one of the things was, I think I was talking about helping my husband run his business, my current husband. And they're like, is that really what you want to do? Because of all the things I've ever talked about that I was interested in, that was never one of them. So they just kept kind of pressing me, not in a harsh way, but in a very loving way. And then one day I just woke up and was like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. That doesn't fill me up. I'm only doing that because I feel obligated, or it feels like I need to do that in order to keep this relationship. And that actually was really pivotal in realizing that, oh, I'm doing this again.
Right.
But it really helped with having that outside perspective and reflection. And they were very kind. My coaches were very kind in how they asked that. But it took being asked that a few times and being able to sit within my own skin, because I didn't like to do that. It was uncomfortable.
Right.
So I didn't want to sit down and process. I didn't want to do the journaling and the exploration work, which was so important for me. And I've seen so many women, and I know it's important for men too. It's so many people, like once you finally get to that place where you're open to working through your stuff, it's like powerful of how quickly it can like
right.
open up awareness.
And if you don't, life will keep mirroring it in like what happened to you in every experience. And I just love that you said that, you know, you have to do this inner work if you want to move ahead. But I think a lot of people, you know, they find it difficult to kind of deal with the shame and heal from those, you know, those past experiences that really hurt them. And so what would you say to those people? Like, how can they prevent early trauma and pain from impacting their sense of worthiness and prevent it from defining who they are?
Yeah. Oh, such a juicy, juicy question. And so many layers to that, right? So we may not always be able to prevent what happens to us. Obviously, we can make choices. We can do the best that we can. We can be cautious of the situations we put ourselves in, but we may not always be able to prevent certain things from happening. But what we do have control over, and this is really powerful, is how we decide to deal with it. And I love that you brought the piece of defining ourselves, because for so long, I allowed my experience with drug abuse to define me as somebody who was shameful, dirty, disgusting, didn't deserve good things in their life. And it really, that was like, when you define yourself that way, it takes you into some really bad places, because the worth that I put on myself was so low that's why I was in relationships with people who treated me so poorly, because that what I was putting the value on. So I think a lot of that has to do with really being able to say, how am I viewing myself in relationship to what happened to me? And am I allowing it to keep me down, or am I finding the lessons and the value and the power in that? So, and what I mean by that is, you know, I can continue to look at the drug abuse as a really bad thing in my life. But one of the things that I've realized that it's given me is the ability to have compassion for other people in a way that some people might not never have the opportunity, because they didn't have the same experience. They don't know what it's necessarily like to take, you know, to be in so much pain in your life that you would revert to using drugs or putting yourself in really bad situations because you just want to numb out. So because I was able to find that, it made it easier to hold space for other people who were going through similar things. And it helped me not have so much judgment about people and their behaviors, because I gave them more grace and compassion, because I understood what it can be like to take you there. So really, I think finding, how can this help me? How has this made me a stronger, wiser, or kinder person? Not better, but stronger, wiser, or kind, I think is a really important thing, because there are so many things in our lives that happen that we don't have control over, especially if we're young, but they're very pivotal. And even to the point where we have this story, and we get to choose at some point whether we want to continue to write the story that way or whether we want to rewrite it for ourselves.
Oh, I love that. So moving out of victim mentality and focusing on the gifts that came from those experiences, as hard as that can be sometimes, but just really digging deep and looking for that. I love that. You talk a lot about becoming our own hero. What does that mean? And what does it take to become our own hero?
Yes, I do talk a lot about that. To become your own hero, it means to me really stopping from looking outside yourself for a savior. For so long, I looked to someone else to save me, to make my life better, to tell me I was loved and worthy, and to want me. And the more that I did that, the more I put myself in really precarious and like challenging situations. And the more that I like got in really bad relationships, and the more I gave away from myself. But when I started to go, no one else can save me. And I write it on the back of my book, like, even if your knight in shining armor came to save you, he still can't save you from the thoughts that are in your head. So that is where that deep, deep inner work comes in, of really being able to go, okay, I have to save myself. Being your own hero is really about being able to be honest with yourself and honoring everything that you've been through. So honesty around what you've experienced, how you're viewing those stories, and really being able to honor the experiences that you've had, the person that you were, and seeing how they're a very powerful piece of you. And then the other piece is finding empathy for the experiences you've had, the story, and really kind of extending compassion. And exploration is really the big thing that can be really challenging, but has been so powerful, is being able to explore those places that you don't want to explore, and the places that you don't, you know, let me say how to explain this. Like, we are so good about burying things that we don't want to talk about or think about. And the more that we bury, the more that it builds up, and it really creates this disconnect and creates this unsettled nature. So exploration is really important when it comes to being able to be your own hero. And then all of this requires risk. I mean, it's really risk to show up in a real way, which is another one of the steps and yes, the practices.
I saw that too. Risking bravely.
Yeah. So, the risk, like, you know, being able to take off that mask that you wear and really kind of just be authentically you, it takes courage, and it's risky because you're putting yourself out there. So being able to be daring by doing that. And then all of this requires like a level of open-hearted ownership. Like, we really have to own our experiences, the stories that we're telling ourselves, the choices that we made. It does not mean we own what other people did if they violated or harmed us. We're obviously not responsible for other people, but we do get to choose, and we are responsible how we see this. But to do ownership is really hard, taking responsibility. So it has to come from a place of open-heartedness and love and true, like, just that compassion level. So all of those things are really pivotal in being your own hero.
Right. And I mean, I think it's really hard for people to risk being the true them, because we're living in a society where people expect us to be a certain way. And a lot of us are prone to people pleasing and kind of trying to fit in that mold so that we're accepted and we're loved. And I really do think it you have to risk being the real you.
You're so right. I mean, I think that's one of the big things. And, you know, what's so hard and recently is kind of coming to light, I think more and more people are starting to talk about it, but we're socialized to be in community, and community is so important. And it is something that we are biologically wired for, because it is our survival. It is why we have attachment relationships as babies, because without our parents, we would literally die. So it's like a biologically wired, but it's also this whole process, right, of that people pleasing and this and that. And so it's really a very convoluted and layered experience when you start unpacking it.
Right, right. Yeah. Especially if you come from a culture, which I do, where, you know, they prefer if you conform rather than do your own thing. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so another thing that you really believe in is that we all have untapped potential within us that's just waiting to be discovered. What are some things that we can do to channel that potential and really express it out in the world?
Yeah, I do. I believe everybody has untapped potential and the capacity for change. Those are really fundamentals. I think we put limits on ourselves. So I think one of the big things is to wonder what is, to even get in that playful curiosity aspect of what could be possible if I let go of these stories? What could be possible if I opened myself up? And not like all the fear, like obviously we can recognize that, but to really go, what's on the other side of that coin? So it's really easy for us to go to the fear place, but it also can be really just going, but what else is there? And really kind of asking that other aspect of, If I wasn't afraid of this would happen, you know, what else could happen if I did this? And so really kind of getting that curiosity and comfortability in playing around with that. And then just really connecting with yourself. I think one of the things that I have seen and I've experienced in my own life is this not unwillingness, but inability to really check in with yourself about things. Like because I had so much issues around self-trust, I was constantly checking with other people. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? And really never once did I ask myself, what should I do? And so I think sometimes rebuilding that relationship with yourself and trusting yourself of like, what is possible and what potential could I reach if I started paying attention to what makes me feel good and what lights me up. And then maybe, you know, you might not decide you want to be an attorney anymore or work in a certain field. Maybe you want to be an artist or maybe you want to be a dancer, and really kind of being able to tap into that aspect. But it really starts with like cultivating self-awareness in a playful and curious, loving way.
Right. And I think that is like that comes after you do all the inner work and you've dealt with all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to be able to do some of that work to recognize the stories in order to be able to make the shift. So when, you know, we say, oh, I want to be this, or wouldn't it be nice if I could do this? Then you go, you don't have as many of that. Oh, but if this, then this, and that, you know, that other part of that story of like all the reasons why you can't. And so I think that doing the inner work helps you recognize and helps you be able to see the inner critic and really then kind of start separating out what is yours and what is not yours, because that's the other thing. Sometimes our inner critic is repeating back things that maybe we heard or maybe we interpreted that we heard when we were a kid. And so, or maybe we picked up through an experience. I know that I had that happen a couple of times. Like nobody ever told me anything. I just felt that way. But then we can start going, do I really own this, or does this go somewhere else? Is this somebody else's?
That's interesting. You can pick it up from anywhere, right? Like any experience. Yeah. Yeah. And even a parental figure, even.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times what I found is that often people never intend to teach us the things that they do. And so our parents or aunts or uncles or whoever we are in community with as we're growing up, like a lot of times they have learned how to be in relationship and community from their generations before them. And there are things that are just carried down that sometimes nobody ever intended for us to pick up. And I think that's one of the really key things is why we don't want to blame our parents for stuff, is because one, it doesn't help us feel any better. But two, like some of them really might not have meant to, like, I'll give you an example from my own life. My mom grew up with 7 brothers, and she is a very strong, independent woman who doesn't need any help and can do everything herself, which is a very great skill and right to have. Mm-hmm. But being in a relationship with a partner can be very challenging when you're like, I can do everything myself and I don't need your help, because it doesn't allow for that connectedness on that level of allowing someone else to support you at times. And so there are things that you can learn that people never meant to teach you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Thank you, Amanda. It's been a pleasure to speak with you today. I'm sure a lot of people will resonate with your story and benefit from all the great advice you've given us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to talk with you and your community today.
For everyone out there who is not familiar with your work, could you please let them know where they can learn more about you and the services that you offer?
Yes, absolutely. So they can go to my website, amandajpbrown.com, and there they can see what courses I offer. They can read blogs. They can order the book. They can see what other speaking events I've done. And really, there's like a resources page with some free stuff that they can just download. And then I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as well. And so I love connecting with people there. And I also have a Facebook community called Band of Brave Women that I support women. And right now we've started doing some courageous combos and coffee. So we are having weekly like little coffee get togethers with all the social distancing just to kind of continue to connect and support each other.
Wow, love it. And what is your book called?
It's called You're Brave Enough, 8 Daily Practices to Be Your Own Hero.
Nice, nice. Okay, great. Thank you, Amanda. Take care and have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you as well.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.